WVQC, People Powered Radio. WVQC LP Cincinnati.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
95.7 FM.
Better, stronger, faster.
Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WVQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WVQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonders. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery. Ain't gonna be green, green tree.
Do you want marijuana? Do you want marijuana?
95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people. The program you're listening to is a rerun from March 29th, 2011, with Adam Brooke and John Sinclair for Hash Bash 2011. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, for John Sinclair Live on Hemp Rock Radio.
Hello, hello. We are on the air here at WVQC. Well, I am, of course, getting ready to hold a meeting in the next week or so. Have been very, very busy getting things together for, of course, our upcoming event and other things going on. Now, I do want to say we have, hopefully, two very special guests coming up here on the show. We have Adam Brooke from Detroit, Michigan. He has been one of the leaders in Michigan law-changing efforts as long as I can remember. He came here in 1993 to help us at a Hemp Rock Hemp Fest. I bet he remembers sliding in the mud. But he's been around for years. He's one of the organizers of Hash Bash, and he is on the show. John Sinclair. John Sinclair, he will be on. If you don't know who John Sinclair is, of course, he is why there is the 40th, I think 40th, but Adam can make sure. Yep, 40th annual. That's what I thought. Here we go. That, of course, takes place in Ann Arbor, Michigan this Saturday, folks. So if you haven't ever been to the Hash Bash, boy, the 40th annual. And it's supposed to be 50 degrees out, folks. That is great for Ann Arbor this time of year. I have been at the Hash Bash, and it's been 20. And everybody's going, brr, where's the joint? Well, they do that anyway. But this, of course, kicks off at high noon on the Diag on campus for the rally. And after that, you march over to Monroe Street. And from 1 to 5 p.m., it's the Monroe Street Fair. And everybody gets to hang out in Dominic's, the cool pizza place right on the street. A lot of fun, a lot of fun. And, of course, you will get to see John Sinclair live, not only at the rally, but also at the Monroe Street Fair. And we have him on to talk to him about the legacy that he did not know he was creating when he got busted for 10 for 2. That's right, folks, 10 years for 2 joints. And, of course, John Lennon wrote a song about it, and we'll be playing that later in the show. Stay tuned, and we will have Adam Brook on. We're going to not only talk about Hash Bash and his part in that, but also what happened to himself as a medical marijuana patient in the state of Michigan. Adam Brook was busted recently on, I believe it says, 8 felony counts, and all about medical marijuana. So we will talk to Adam about that and see how that case is going with him, and why he thinks they did it. Of course, I can tell you why. He's been one of the leaders in the community in Michigan for years, pushing the legalization of marijuana for all of its uses. And you know what happens? It happened to Paul Stanford in Oregon. They're going after him. So we'll see. A lot of other people, boy, they are trying to take out the generals. And I know I'm getting disgusted with it. And I know a lot of other people are, too. But in the meantime, I know I have some quick things I want to tell you about. Don't forget the Global Marijuana March is coming up around the world. And I will have that promotion completely together in the next week or so. But I have information as it comes. I'm going to let you know. Of course, we're going to start off at 3 o'clock at the Freedom Center downtown and march across the bridge, the suspension bridge into Covington, so we can go to the courthouse, old jail. And we're going to cheer Kentucky on for half-ass decrimming. I like to call it that. Yeah. It's about going there and cheering, holding your signs, and going, all right, now let's turn around and march back to Cincinnati for the 420 in time for that. And then come out to Miami Town Cleves area to the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest that evening. Doors will open at 6. Music will kick off at 7. And so stay tuned for that. You'll be able to get more information at hemprock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line as soon as I make my updates. And also, don't forget, if you want to really go to a place on 420 for an event, D.C. would be the place. Of course, the Overgrow the Government, that's govt.org or .com, actually, Stickman says, and get the information for the 420 rally in D.C. So for more information, if you want to go to D.C. and march on 420, that is, of course, again, Overgrow the govt.org or .com, and find out that information. But we're going to go ahead and come back with John Lennon, and you'll know the song, and it is the theme of not only today's show, but this Saturday in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Hash Bash. Stay tuned. Adam Brook will be up right after that, and we hope John Sinclair for at least a few minutes. It's Hemp Rock Radio.
Power to the people!
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress over there rolling up the pots. Today is, of course, the Burn Man with Hemp Rock TV over taking a nap is Country Kenny. And, of course, if you didn't know, that song was, of course, Power to the People from John Lennon. And I will tell you, that is the theme of the show today. Hit that phone. We're going to bring our guest online, of course. My guest today here on Hemp Rock Radio, the first guest, and I hope there will be another one named John Sinclair after him. But first, I have Adam Brook, my friend from Detroit, on the line. Adam, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing, Lynn?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. So now, I know that you have been Michigan Normal and different things. What organization are you specifically working for or with, or your own organization? I'm not really sure what you're doing other than, besides being a medical patient, let me put it that way, that you work with today.
Yeah, well, I organized the Hash Bash with a student group on campus, and it's a normal chapter on campus.
It is the normal chapter on campus, that's what I thought.
They really are kids from the SSDP chapter who form the normal chapter in order to put the permit under that name as opposed to SSDP. So it's really the same group of kids at campus.
Wonderful. Well, as you know, you just heard the PSA from the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We love and adore them.
Oh, yes. They are our future.
Yes, they are. We helped get a chapter together here at UC campus, so we'll definitely support them and the nationals. And international, they've gone now. I think if any organization is really doing great work, it is the kids, because you're right, they're the future. So now, real quick, let's talk about the Hash Bash. Then I want to talk about what's going on with you personally, with your medical and your bus that you had.
Sure.
But tell us what's going on with the Hash Bash this weekend, that it's new and improved or whatever.
Well, it's the 40th annual Ann Arbor Hash Bash at high noon on Saturday, April 2nd, on the Diag. This year, we got really lucky, and we have the former Republican governor of the state of New Mexico, Governor Gary Johnson, who will be speaking. And he has, of course, he was term limited out of office, so
yeah.
In his final term, he came out as a legalization guy and all for it, and He is going around the country promoting his ideas, and sounds like he may even be running for president.
I'm hoping so. I'm very thrilled to hear that he's going to be there, because that is one man I want to interview, and
yeah,
he is fantastic.
That was a big phone call when I got that.
I bet.
I've been sitting on that one for a while.
Well, very good.
Of course, we're going to have John Sinclair will be there, and because the medical law in Michigan is so prominent right now, there will be all kinds of people speaking on behalf of different things, whether it be
Michigan Medical Coalition
Association.
The Association,
the,
MMA. MMMA.
MMMA, there's the Michigan.
Let's see, I have...
Consumers. Hold on, the MACC is the Michigan Association of Compassion Clubs. They'll be represented.
So kind of like the Union of Clubs.
Right. they've organized their own little union.
Yeah.
There will be a bunch of former organizers that have done the job that I've done over the years. A few of them are coming back from different places. Rich Burkett, who now lives down in Mexico, will be back in town.
Rich moved to Mexico, huh? What part of Mexico?
Yeah, he's living in Guadalajara. It's funny he moved to Guadalajara because I lived there when I was five.
Well, you know, I have friends from here in Cincinnati when they got disgusted when Bush won the second election, and they happened to be in Lake Chapala on vacation and had met all the gringos down there and were partying, and then they were all really sad that night. And the next day, Peter and Lane went out and rented a house. And now they own a home in Lake Chapala, to be honest, is 14 hours south of Guadalajara. So we need to hook these folks up down there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll have people... someone will talk about Rainbow Farm and the tragedy out there. Different lawyers speaking. This year's going to be a good year. We've got a couple people that have really come out from the past. There's a guy by the name of John Rosevere who wrote a book in 1965 called Pot, a Marijuana Handbook.
Yeah.
And he's been an Ann Arbor resident for 40-some years.
Wow.
And he'll be speaking at Hash Bash this year. So
wonderful.
It should be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a great one. Not that any of them, you can't say any of them are bad.
Well, no, that's the cool thing about the event is everyone asks me, you know, what do you think Hash Bash is going to be like this year? And well, it's always based on the weather. And if the weather's nice, it's going to be really cool, and there'll be tens of thousands of people in town. If the weather's not so nice, there'll be tens of thousands of people in town. So... it really doesn't matter if the weather's good or bad. People still come. And it's amazing how many people show up when there's an inch of snow on the ground on the first Saturday in April. And we're expecting snow. We're expecting sunshine and 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So it could be massive. And we've gotten a ton of publicity and good write-ups in the paper. Of course, we've had some bad write-ups in the paper.
But I'm sure.
Still getting write-ups in the paper. So that helps, and that exposure, that media exposure, does nothing but increase the size of the event.
I just want to tell you I'm getting a message here in Facebook, so Bruce says to tell you hi. Headwise.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's headwise now.
I understand. He is headwise.
Many, many different guises, as you know. So, now, I want to talk a few minutes. As you pointed out, nobody would do anything like that for political reasons. So, let's move that as a segue to what is going on with you, your, what I believe, political bust, being who you are. Now, before I go on to that, I actually have to say and let people know, we've known each other since 1993 when I had the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest to protest the Pride conference that was here in Cincinnati that week. We kicked it off with the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest way out at the top of the Mud Hill. I'm sure you remember.
No, but yeah.
You know, but yeah, I remember you brought your U-Haul truck up way out in the country.
Did.
The big, huge top hill that was full of mud and nobody could get up or down.
I was using a rider truck before you couldn't drive around the country in a rider truck.
Yeah. Actually, I guess it was a rider. It wasn't a U-Haul.
No, it was a rider.
Yeah, you're right. But so that was our first encounter, and I appreciated you coming in and helping out with that, the Mud Fest, as they like to call it. And so now let's talk about what happened with you. You are specifically a some people like to think that some aren't, but you are what is considered a true, real medical marijuana patient.
In the state, we're called a qualified patient.
Qualified. Well, let's tell folks what qualified you first so people realize the condition that you are in physically.
Oh, well, my physical condition is a mess.
We're not talking about your mental, just your physical.
No, I know. I suffer from a degenerative disc disease that has left me having... two fusion surgeries, one in my lower back and one in my neck, which limited my movement. And, of course, since those surgeries, I have continued to have a degenerative disc issue requiring more surgeries that I've just decided to put off. But I also, because I'm a chronic pain patient, I take exorbitant amounts of opiates. And I suffer, of course, all of those side effects. But I came down with had an allergic reaction to some pain medicine that I was given actually, they give Cymbalta to people with nerve pain.
Hey, Adam, could you speak up just a little bit higher? And then let me ask you, is that anything related to the Stevens-Johnson syndrome, your allergic reaction? Because that is one of the conditions that people get.
It is not.
Okay.
But what happened to me was I had this allergic reaction to the Cymbalta that caused my lymphatic system and my legs to shut down.
Great pharmaceuticals.
Oh, yeah. So I immediately, of course, got off of that, and then it took a year of wrapping my legs every day to get my lymphatic system to return to somewhat normal. At the same time, they found that the lump in my neck was thyroid cancer, and I had surgery last March for the thyroid cancer. So, you know, I certainly, it's kind of funny, when I went to the doctor to get my patient qualification signed, I did like many people did, and I went to an expo where they had doctors lined up because I wanted to have that experience that people were forced to have so I could talk about it.
Yeah.
And I handed this man this chart that was, you know, 2 inches thick, and he opened it up and started looking, and the first thing he said to me is, "Wow, you must be in a lot of pain." And, you know, he gladly signed the form, and it was simple because it's pretty obvious when you take one look at me that I might be 6'4" and I might weigh 300 pounds, but I'm not the big, tough, rough guy I used to be.
That's right.
So, you know, I certainly qualify as a patient under the law in Michigan, which is, you know, something that when I got into the whole marijuana movement, medical marijuana was a concept and one of the things that I thought was pretty neat about the movement.
Yeah.
We were talking about fuel, food, fiber, and medicine. We were
Jack Hare Credo.
Right. We were talking about back in the day that, you know, hash bash was a smoke-in. It was about coming out and smoking a joint on the diag. Of course, they didn't have their own police force like they do now.
Yeah.
So things were very different when I got involved. Now that medical marijuana has come to the state of Michigan, it has totally invigorated the movement. And now people like me who have been doing this for a long time finally are reaping some of the rewards. Well,
right.
At least I thought I was until I was in the pool at the high school, or former high school, for my water aerobics class at 8:45 at night. And two police officers walked into the pool. And I knew at that point that it was the same day that Big Daddy's had been raided at 6 o'clock.
And where is Big Daddy's?
Big Daddy's is they do the Michigan Medical Marijuana Magazine. They
Dispensary.
Dispensary.
Or Compassion Club. Is it considered?
Compassion Club. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what they do. They do a number of different things, but they're certainly well-respected, and they're certainly pumping tons of money into the movement.
Yeah.
And, they were raided at 6 o'clock. I got that phone call at about 6:15. I went to my water aerobics class. These two cops walk in. I knew one of two things happened. Either my wife, who drops me off, had been in a car accident and they were coming to let me know, or I had been raided.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, my wife was not in an accident.
Yeah.
And these guys basically brought me home to a drug raid being
in progress.
In progress on my house.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm in court over this issue now. There's really not much I can say specifically about this.
Right. I was going to ask you that. Say what you can say.
Right. I do appreciate the fact that people think it's a political thing. I will tell you that everybody, all my friends know that when they read the things in the newspaper that they read, they know what that means. They know that they come into your home and they start looking in places you never thought they would look, and they find things that you never thought anybody in their right mind would ever come looking for.
Or care about.
And they give you grief over things that are not illegal, but they'd like you to think they are.
It's the scare tactics.
Right. And people know what they do. So when you read the newspaper that, you know, a man's been charged with possession with intent to distribute, well, most people know that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
In Michigan, when you have over a certain amount, which it's real funny, they tell everybody in grams how much weed you have.
Yeah.
Because
makes it sound so much more.
Oh, yeah, 800 grams.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that they weigh up your duff from your vaporizer.
Yeah.
That you've been saving to cook with.
Yep,
which,
yep.
You know, is nonsense.
Yeah.
But the...
That's like decaf coffee.
That's right. The concept of a drug raid in America is something that most people who go through it,
yeah,
guilty or not, believe that these tactics should not be used on Americans. This is something that is just the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your life. Now, there were some funny things that happened in my drug raid. And I hope that when my case is over, I can talk about them. But the reality is what people read in the paper wasn't the truth, wasn't the truth at all.
Yeah.
They charged me with 7 different gun crimes, 4 of which have been dropped already. And you'll never read about that in the newspaper.
Which ones were dropped?
Well, 4 of the 7 gun crimes were dropped.
Of the gun crimes.
And
charges, rather.
Right. And the problem is the newspaper will never report about that.
Of course not. They never tell the second half of the story.
Right, right. And, you know, the reality of this is that this is a case of mistaken identity, of not checking to make sure that you know who you're dealing with before you deal with them.
Yeah.
I am a medical patient. I shouldn't have a problem. That's basically what I have to say.
Yeah. Well, I certainly believe that that is true, and I certainly hope that the courts will out on that. And let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and roll this clip, even though we're not sure yet what John is doing in Chicago. But I want to keep you on the line for a little bit and talk about a couple other things. Hopefully, in the meantime, we'll hear from John.
Sure.
But let's. Go ahead and roll this clip. This is, of course, on behalf of John Sinclair and, of course, the 40th anniversary of the Hash Bash that was kicked off by his bust in, it was 1971, Adam?
The first Hash Bash was in 72.
72. Okay.
John was released in prison in December of 71, and Hash Bash was... you know what? When we come back,
Let's talk about that. Absolutely. So it's Hemp Rock Radio, of course. Let Burn Man roll up clip number 11, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Of course, you know who this is. Listen to the story and the song about John Sinclair. We'll be back.
Give him 10 for 2.
WVQC, People Powered Radio.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and you're listening to Hip Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
The program you're listening to is a rerun from March 29th, 2011, with Adam Brooke and John Sinclair for Hash Bash 2011. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, for John Sinclair Live on Hemp Rock Radio.
Adam, are you there?
I am now.
All righty. Sorry about losing you there for a minute. Anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress, and on the line with me is Adam Brooke from Michigan, of course, the Detroit area. I do want to tell you, of course, that song you heard before the break, of course, was John Sinclair from John Lennon. Of course, he wrote that on behalf of John Sinclair when he got busted for two joints and got 10 years. And this Saturday is the celebration of the rally smoking that came after that, as Adam said, in 1972, right?
Yes. Basically, John was released in 71 in December after the Chrysler, 3 days after the Chrysler Arena show, and the Michigan Supreme Court had ruled that the marijuana laws were unconstitutional, and the legislature had made new laws that were to take effect on April 1st, and people had posted signs around town about a smoke-in on April 1st in order to kind of say a big, you know, F you to the man. So
right. April Fool's Day, nonetheless.
Right. And at the time, yeah, we were doing it April Fool's Day on April 1st. That was how it started in 72. And then from there, it had a life of its own. You know, it really had to do with the response to the legislature when they came up with a new set of marijuana laws. And it's fun to have Sinclair there because he certainly was a major part of it, even though he didn't attend very few hash bashes.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have him there now.
Yeah, I think as far as that I've been coming over the last number of years, he's been there. Now, of course, one of the people that's missing, as you know, is Chef Raw, who used to come all the time, and he passed in 06, so we don't get to see his long dreads dragging the ground anymore, unfortunately. But I have an article in front of me that I want to run by. I'm sure you've seen this. And it's one of the things that, you know, I get on my soapbox, as you know, and this is one of the things that really pisses me off. Medical marijuana dispensary opens near Catholic church and school. Should this be illegal? Now, this comes from Connect.
Yeah.
Michigan, or something, Detroit, Michigan. It's
a
newspaper or online. I'm not sure if it's online or what, but it's out of the Detroit area. And they're, you know, wanting to know, well, should it be illegal to have a medical marijuana? Personally, I don't care if it's medical or otherwise. I personally, of course, have no issue with that. And here's why, Adam. And then I want your opinion on this. In the area where I live, there is an elementary school right directly across the street. I mean, literally, two corners. A little tiny street at a light across the street from each other is an elementary school and a Walgreens. Now, you say, well, it's just a Walgreens. Okay, but wait a minute, folks. Think about this. How many drugs over the counter can a kid get in a Walgreens? They also sell alcohol. There's bars next to schools all the time. why should it matter if some marijuana is next to them? So tell us what's going on and what you see, what's going on up there with this kind of stuff going on.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
Here's the problem. Here's the whole problem, which you have to understand about Michigan. The reason all these communities are coming up with these goofy ordinances that people laugh at because it doesn't make any sense is because it's the only control the local community has is land use issues where they can create these ordinances. So they do this with bars all the time. Anytime in a modern community, now don't forget, any bar that's near a school has been there for 50 years.
Yeah, it's already grandfathered in.
Right. If you want to open up nowadays, you have to be 1,000 feet away from everything.
Yeah.
And another bar sometimes. So, you know, the fact that you're right, these drug stores can open up on 3 out of the 4 corners and a school could be on the 4th.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything about that.
Yeah, they can walk in and buy Tylenol PM, or I mean rather steal Tylenol PM right off the counter and die.
Well, I mean, I've always said, similar to you, that personally I don't care where a marijuana dispensary, grow op, whatever is.
Yeah.
I live a half a mile from a Catholic school, and I think that if there was a dispensary or a grow shop that opened up on the corner, the kids from the school should be required to go there and learn.
Yeah. Personally, I'd rather live next to the dispensary than the Catholic school and church.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. They were there before I was.
Yeah.
Of course, I think I might have made a mistake moving to Oakland County.
I know, bet. You know? Yeah, right.
But, the thing in Michigan right now is that these communities don't quite know what to do with themselves because many of them feel that if they don't take some action, they will get run over. Now, I happen to be a big proponent every time I hear of a community that wants to vote on a moratorium. I love that because that just means that we're going to be talking about medical marijuana sometime in the future when your moratorium ends. So if you want to stick your head in the sand for the next 120 days, you go right ahead, have your moratorium, we'll come back to you later.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other communities that are willing to take this on and have this argument right now.
Yeah.
There are some communities who have embraced this. There are one county in the Upper Peninsula that borders Wisconsin where the prosecutor said to all the law enforcement, do not bring me any marijuana cases. I don't want to get sued. So,
good.
You know, yeah, right. That's the place to move to.
Yeah.
But some communities, they understand that this isn't an issue. Other communities, they're trying to make an issue of this. And it's a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of reefer madness. I found something that I've kind of co-opted because, of course, when I found it, I was probably too high to write down who wrote it. But it talks about our Michigan Medical Marijuana Act is a well-written law, clearly understandable to anybody who approaches it with an open mind. The only people having a hard time understanding it are the public officials who are determined to thwart the will of the voters and just can't get the law to say what they want it to say, no matter how many times they read it. And I read that, and I just went, wow.
Yeah.
That's true, because our law is so simple. Our law, matter of fact, I had an argument with the detective on my case, because he told me he would let me help him work off my charges by turning people in. And I said, everybody I know is legal.
Yeah.
He says, well, you think so? I said, yeah. I mean, what do you want me to do, turn somebody in that has 72 plants? And he says, yeah, I'll take them. Why? Because in his eyes, when he reads the law, it says you can only have 5 patients if you're a caregiver. If you're one of the patients, many people think you can grow your own plus 5 more for 5 other people. It depends how you interpret the law.
Yeah.
Some people think the maximum number is 60. Some people think it's 72. Well, sounds like in Oakland County, they think it's 70. It's 60. And they're willing to raid anybody with 72.
Well, what'll happen, though, is the same thing that happened out in California, though. The Supreme Court of California, when cases came to them, they said there is no limit that you can say for personal because everybody's personal. Who knows what somebody else should be having? So it was an open-ended
right.
amount.
Well, and that's how California got to their point now where they are actually writing what it looks more like a prescription where it has an amount.
Yeah.
And I know plenty of people who have, you know, been prescribed 5 and 10 pounds because they cook it. So
sure, and it takes a lot more to make it when you're cooking
it. That's right. So California certainly figured it out, but of course they had to get it from their Supreme Court. Well, yeah, if Oakland County wants to be the one to make it happen, it sounds like they are. And unfortunately, they do it on the backs of the people.
Right.
But you're right. Once we get this into the Michigan Supreme Court, they will decide. And unfortunately, I would rather have the people decide than the courts decide.
Yeah.
And I think the people did just fine voting our law in. Our law was very clear and basic, and it lets the patient take care of the patient and the caregiver take care of the patient, and it doesn't require outsiders' business at all.
Yeah. So now what's going on with the feds trying to get the patient's list? First of all, they have no business having
it. Wait a minute. That's not what you think it is. Here's what happened.
Okay.
A guy was raided. He said, "These are my patients," and he showed them 5 cards. He and somebody else in the raid made 7. The feds want to be able to see those 7 names on the list. They're not asking to see the whole list.
Okay.
They're asking to verify that those 7 names are on the list. Now, our law is unique. Because it's a medical record, the law enforcement has to have the card in hand, call a number, or use the computer to verify a number. They can only get the name if they have to verify the ID of the individual, if there's an ID question. If there's no ID question, then they don't have a right to the name. So that's why the DEA didn't have access. All they could do is be told yes that card was valid. They weren't able to verify the name.
Good.
And according to what I've read from the DEA, and this is in their briefs, so, you know, you write this stuff in your briefs, that's what you're telling the court.
Yeah.
They weren't interested in these individuals' names to find out who they were. They had access to the card. You know, they knew who they were. They needed access to prove who they were, to prove that the cards were legitimate. And that's what they were trying to do, was just verify this.
Okay.
And you know, local law enforcement knows who these people are. So
yeah.
It's not that it's a secret, but our law is written in such a way because it's a medical issue.
Yeah.
So we have that protection of the HIPAA laws. And so far the courts have ruled in that favor, you know.
Right. Well, I think it scared a lot of people, and that's what a lot of people are opposed to with some of the medical rules in some of the different states, is getting on a list. The fear of this drug war, and frankly, I can understand that. Why does anybody want to be put on a list? Why should we have to be put on a list? Is there a specific list of people who get Prozac from the doctors?
No, but here's the interesting thing. This is interesting, because I get that phone call regularly.
I bet.
From people that say, well, I don't really want to get on the list.
Yeah.
Well, getting on the list affords you one protection and one protection only. It enables you to get a card from the state that you can flash a police officer and most of the time walk away with your weed and not be bothered, as long as you're within the law.
Yeah.
Without that card, you get arrested, you lose your dope, you have to prove in court that the law applies to you, and the law does have this affirmative defense to it, and nowhere in the law does it actually require you to get the card to have the protection of the law.
Just extra protection on the street.
Correct. It enables, and I've heard people showing their cards at their front door to officers who have come into their house, counted their plants, and left, never to be heard from again.
Wow. Well, that's great for the cops doing that.
Well, that's because they're willing to accept somebody as being legal.
Yeah.
Now, if the guy says, well, I'm an anti-government kind of guy, which that's what I said, my card expired, and I knew that I had the protection of, a note from my doctor in my pocket. So I know how the law works.
Right.
So I know I'm covered at that point.
Right.
So I never thought they'd come into my house. So I wasn't out on the street. I'm handicapped. I don't go out much anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't worried about that. It just so happened that a few days before this, I renewed my card and sent my caregiver registration in and all that. And of course, the state of Michigan is like 4 and 5 months behind in processing people's cards, which is something that most people just don't have a concept of unless they're in the program, that you go and you get this approval, and then it takes 4 or 5 months to get this physical card in your hand. And, yeah, you can show your paper and stuff, but a lot of police officers don't necessarily respect that. They want to see that card. That's what they've been told to look for.
Right.
You know? And they respect it. That's what's cool. I had a friend stop down the freeway with a half a pound of weed, and the trooper pulled out his scale, weighed it all out, handed it back to him, and sent him on his way.
Well, that's good stories.
He had his card.
Do you have your papers, sir, as they say?
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know.
Well, I guess as long as they follow the law, once you provide them the paper, and they go, all right, you're good, go on. I mean, then it's working.
It is working. The problem is, many times it's not working for people because of mistakes they might have made. Not that those mean that they shouldn't be entitled to the coverage of the law. The law certainly is written in a way that it encompasses people with the affirmative defense. But they think they have one protection, and yes, they do, but not until they get busted and are in court and can make that argument.
Right.
So that makes a difference. But
wow.
I do happen to know that John is waiting to talk to you folks.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, then let's do this, Adam. I will, of course, be talking about the Hash Bash this weekend with John. Then we'll go ahead. I will take you off of the line and open the line for John. And, Adam, I want to thank you for sitting in today with us, and I will certainly see you this weekend. And I hope everything goes well for you with your case, and I believe it will.
Sure.
Awesome.
I appreciate that, and we'll see you this weekend.
You got it, Adam. Thank you very, very much, and we'll open the line for John Sinclair here in just a minute. Thanks, Adam. And as I said, it is Hemp Rock Radio. We will be back in just a minute with John Sinclair here on Hemp Rock Radio. We'll be right back. All right, it is, of course, Hemp Rock Radio. And, of course, on the line with us, as I promised, is the man himself, John Sinclair. Very special guest calling us from Chicago to discuss what's going on with his stuff and, of course, the Hash Bash this weekend. John, how are you doing today?
Hi, Lynn. I'm doing fine.
Wonderful. I thank you for all the troubles of trying to get in, and I know you were doing another show up in Chicago, so I hope everything went well.
Yeah, I was doing a show with Nick Tremulous.
Wonderful. And, of course, you know, I have to say that I am proud to have one of my favorite DJs on the line with us here. Now,
thank you.
You know, as I said on the phone a minute ago, I was teasing you. I still really wanted to, at some point, have you on while you're on Radio Free Queen City here from Radio Free Amsterdam. Are you still doing that show out in Amsterdam?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, tell us about that.
Seventh year.
Fantastic.
RadioFreeAmsterdam.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, do you do that live or is that pre-recorded? How's that done?
Oh, I make little one-hour programs and then I post them.
So, okay, pre-recorded. Well, you know, that's the beauty of the Internet. I think it's fantastic.
I pretend like I'm live.
Exactly.
Now, I'm talking.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I want to let people remind people who you are. Of course, you were a DJ in Ann Arbor, right, back in the 70s?
Yeah, Ann Arbor, Detroit, New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, New Orleans, too. And
I was on WWOZ for 12 years.
Wonderful. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that that's what kicked off Hash Bash, that you got busted for two joints for 10 years. And we played earlier in the show, of course, the song from John Lennon.
Great.
John Sinclair played that. And so tell people, you know, we've only got a few minutes left in the show. And, well, we got about 15 minutes left with you.
I'm having lunch at Buddy Guy's Club right now. My gumbo's sitting there waiting for me.
Well, we can't let you. Cannot let your gumbo go cold. Well, real quick, tell us, of course, your feelings on what's happened with what happened with you back in the day and where we've come today, and about the Hash Bash a little bit.
Well, fortunately, my problems ended 40 years ago when I was released from prison.
Thank God.
For possession of two joints. I did 2.5 years out of a 9.5 to 10 year sentence.
Crazy.
John Lennon came to Ann Arbor and a bunch of other people, and right after that, they let me out. That was 1971, a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know I saw the video. There's a documentary out about the story as well. Is that still able to be found for people to purchase?
Yeah.
And do you know where they can find that? Do you have a site for that?
Which one? You mean U.S. versus John Lennon?
Mine
is
yours.
By the great Cincinnati filmmaker Steve Gebhardt.
Wonderful. I did not know that.
20 to life.
20 to life. That's it. Now, can they find that on johnsinclair.us?
I think they have to go to Amazon or somebody.
Okay. Well, I know it's a great video. It tells the story and has, you know, I love the scene where you're being released from jail.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Happiest moment of my life so far.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, you know, I want to get some feelings from you real quick. I knew that you knew John and Yoko, but how does that feel to know that, especially after all the years that he's been gone, that he and Yoko came out and protested and wrote that song on behalf of you? I mean,
it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is such a great thing, and you know, what more can be said about that? So now you're going to be at the Hash Bash this weekend. Of course.
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday, and after the official festivities, we have the Monroe Street Fair a block away that goes on all afternoon. And then I get to play with a band called Mac Pods at the Flying Pig that night.
Yeah, the Mac Pods. You can get them at the Mac.
We do that every year now.
Yeah, their website is the Mac Pods with a Z on the end .com. And
yeah.
Check them out.
People.
Yeah, now I know it's going to be good weather, so it should be a great, great time. Now, I hear from Adam that Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, is going to join you in the Diag.
Oh, very good.
Oh, you did not know that? Oh, I think we might.
No, I don't know.
We might have had an exclusive there.
I've been in New Orleans for the Mardi Gras, and then I was in Mississippi and Arkansas, and I'm in Chicago tomorrow. I'll be in Detroit.
Fantastic, so fantastic.
Catch up when I get there.
Yeah. Now, do you actually live most of the time in Amsterdam?
As much as I can get away with.
I was going to say, you lucky dog.
Yeah. Well, it's not all luck.
Yeah, now tell me, since you are over there, what's going on over there? I know that the I guess it's the conservative parties, I'm not really sure what they're called in that country, are trying to get the dispensaries closed first, and if not that, then limited to just the locals. How are they doing on that? How's our end?
Well, they're always trying to drive things backwards, but on the other hand, you can go to a coffee shop and buy your weed over the counter.
I know,
so that's pretty ideal to me.
Yeah, me too. Now, I know they're trying to make it so if you're not local, you won't be able to do that if you're a tourist.
They're trying. I don't think they're going to get away with it. All my friends there say it's not going to happen.
Well, I hope they're right. That was why, you know, I figured you would have a better perspective being there and knowing what, you know.
You know, the right wing, they like to rattle their sabers as much as they can. But yeah. They can't always get out of the scabbard.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be really stupid. I mean, think about it. Right. I mean, that is their tourist attraction. Everybody wants to go to Amsterdam for the cannabis.
Yeah.
You know, why would we want to go if, I mean.
Well, there's a legalized prostitution that helps too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't really do anything for me.
No, but
I approve.
For the tourists. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate it, and I think everything like that should be legal, but I'm not going to go to Amsterdam to see the prostitutes.
No.
You know? But I'll go there to smoke pot.
Amen. Me too.
Yeah. So, well, real quick, I know your gumbo's getting cold, so I want to give you a couple minutes to say anything that you would like to the folks about your experience and how to encourage people that have been in your position or are in your position on how to fight that. Of course, they won't have John.
Fight
on
back.
It's
get a good lawyer and fight back.
And fight back. That's right. Fantastic. Well, John, I definitely want to have you on again in the future, but I will see you this weekend. I will let you go. We're almost at the top of the show. And
call me anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And have a beautiful, beautiful gumbo there in Chicago at the Buddy Guy Club there. And
going back there now.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And we will see you this weekend in Hash Bash.
Thanks for that. Oh, great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was John Sinclair, and I want to thank him, and of course Adam Brooke, for getting him on the phone for us from Chicago at the Buddy Guy Club and Restaurant. That would be a cool place to go. Great talking to John Sinclair, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him numerous times, and matter of fact, he has some of our Hemp Rock t-shirts, by the way, and so I will hopefully run into him at the Bash this weekend and see what's going on there. Again, that is High Noon on the Diag down on the University in Ann Arbor. And my advice to other people out there who are registered voters, first of all, if you're not, get registered to vote, because guess what, folks? They can then choose to put you on a jury.
Right.
They can choose not to if they don't like you. But if you become a juror, whether it's in this city state or otherwise, you can do the same thing, even if it's not a medical law in that state. You can vote not guilty and start setting precedents all the time, whether or not they're allowed to put in medical defense or not.
Right.
And so that's my advice. Get the lawyer, like John says, a lawyer that's willing to fight, and then fight it to the end and plead not guilty on no matter what it is, so then the jury can decide whether or not the state has presented enough evidence, or even if so, they can still vote not guilty by reason of conscience. It's called jury nullification. Folks, look it up. Fully informed jury amendment. Now, of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I'm the Happy Hemptress, and we are going to roll out of here. Stay tuned, of course, for next week's show. Same time, same place here at WVQC LP Cincinnati, WVQC.org, Radio Free Queen City. Kenny, thanks for sitting in. And, of course, the Burn Man's out there doing something for the 420 appliance, I know. And so we will come back next week and tell you all the fun we had at Hash Bash in Ann Arbor. Also, don't forget 420 in D.C. overgrowthegovt.com or .org for more information for that 420. And also, if you can't make it there, don't forget the 4th of July smoke-in in D.C. So anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am out of here. And Country Kenny and Burn Man will all be back next week. We will see you later. Stay high.
The program you're listening to is a rerun from March 29th, 2011, with Adam Brook and John Sinclair for Hash Bash 2011. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, for John Sinclair Live on Hemp Rock Radio. This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Inside Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WVQC, people-powered radio.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
Coming to you from the Cincinnati Computer Cooperative Studios, this is WVQCLP Cincinnati, 95.7 FM.
WVQC is dedicated to giving a voice to your community, but we need your support to make it happen. Show your support of WVQC Radio Free Queen City by making a membership contribution today. Call 513-651-4171 to find out how you can keep non-commercial radio alive.
What's that? You say you need a computer? Well, check out www.mediabridges.org. We are offering refurbished Mac computers to the public. All proceeds benefit WVQCLP Cincinnati.
Are you part of a community group that has something to say? What if you could spread your own message with your own radio station?
Who, us?
Yeah, you.
Well, your chance is now. The Local Community Radio Act passed. As soon as the summer of 2012, community groups and nonprofits will have a one-time chance to apply for a community radio station. Amplify your voice on the airwaves.
Local issues, local media, local control. Visit PrometheusRadio.org/getradio for more information.